reading to you from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, and with the 20th verse. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in a temple, where all the Jews came together, and I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. Behold, these know what I said. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Dear friends, you know what? I've said this so many times. I sure didn't want to be a preacher. First of all, I didn't think that I could do it. Well, Moses didn't think he could lead the children of Israel to the promised land, but he blessed well did because God gave him the instructions and God led him all the way. I can't honestly say I've always done everything God wanted me to do. I'm sure I haven't, but I have tried to tell people about Jesus. I don't want to water the word down. I want you to know if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to accept Jesus and be born again. Be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers? Sit back and relax. Have a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 12th chapter of Daniel. That's the last chapter in the book of Daniel. And let's begin reading with the 4th verse. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge and will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on the bank of the river and the other on the bank of the river. This bank and one on the other bank. And one said to the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? And I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, and he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times and a half time. And as soon as they finish shattering the powers of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, my Lord, that will be the outcome of these events. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight with understanding. And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attained to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. I've labeled this the time of the end. Friends, listen. There's tough times ahead yet in our country. No, I'm not going to tell you what they are. I can't predict what's going to happen. I don't know. But I do know that there's going to be tough times ahead. And Daniel was privy to this information, and he recorded it. Look, this will be the earth's most terrible time. And it tells us in Matthew 24, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor shall be. Revelations concerning the resurrection. Some rise to everlasting life. Some rise to shame and everlasting contempt. Oh, but listen to this. Soul winners rise to receive eternal rewards. What will the end time be? Listen to me, friends. I've said this 100 billion times. A Christian who's busy about his Father's business and winning souls to Christ and telling others about him have a great reward at the end of life. The Bible is very plain about it. The joy of soul winning. And I'm always harping on that to people. Listen, you want to have a abundant life? Get involved in witnessing and soul winning and telling others about Jesus. Oh, friends, I'm telling you the truth. Well, you know, it says in verse 4, but as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Well, many shall run to and fro. Hey, listen, friends, isn't this a commentary of our times today? Everybody is on the move. You know, I used to live in Bellingham, Washington. And I want you to know it wasn't very busy there. I mean, the roads weren't busy. I think now they got 6 lanes. The last time I was there, it was bumper to bumper, 6 lanes, and it took us hours to get to Seattle, Washington. Everybody's on the move. Busy schedule dominates families. Oh, friends, I got to make a confession. One time, when I was pastoring a church, my sons came in and said, Dad, you know, you're so busy down at the church and you've got prayer meeting and when you're not out visiting, you're studying and preparing for sermons. Don't you have any time for us? Oh, my friends, more than one pastor's children have been neglected because their dad had to get out and do this and do that. You have to take your time and allot it. God wants the preacher to take time with his children as well as other people's children. If you don't, you're liable to lose some. Well, speed and ease of travel are unprecedented. You know, folks, our crowded highways are the norm everywhere. How many times you said, boy, I'd like to move where it was nice and quiet and you don't have any crime. So people move to a little city and then someone gets killed and wow, it can happen anywhere. Crime is rampant in the world today. We have these terrorists that really honestly believe if they could convince us to worship their God that doesn't exist, Allah, then they'd be happy with us. They want everybody to convert to their religion. But I'll tell you, my friends, if you read that book of Quran, you could never convert to their way of believing. Oh, it's so out of, it's not even believable. Well, someone said, well, Cecil, the Bible's not believable. Well, it is after you're saved. I'll admit, before I was saved, I couldn't understand the Bible because the Spirit of God wasn't living in my heart. But once you repent, turn your back on the old way of life, and your sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb, then the Scriptures become alive to you. I want to tell you a story about my dear wife. You see, after I was saved, we were having a baptismal service, and I told the pastor I wanted to be obedient to the Lord and be baptized. Well, my wife, she said she did too. Well, what we didn't know, my wife was not saved. My wife was a head believer. She was a do-gooder. She was not born again. Now, when I went to Bible College in Riverside, California, we went to a service one night. But by the way, I'm ahead of myself. Then shortly after she was baptized, then she accepted Christ as Savior. Well, I told her, I said, now, you need to get baptized. I was baptized. No. I said, you went down a wet center and came up a wet center. And so she said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Cease. After you become a pastor of a church, I'll let you baptize me. I said, no, that's not working. You're putting me ahead of the Lord. No, I don't like that. Well, we were in ground in California, and we went to this church just one night, and this pastor got up and preached on baptism, part of what baptism was, as an act of obedience. Now get this, the Lord convicted her that she needed to truly be baptized scripturally. So she did. And then one night she told me, said, did you know what? This is going to surprise you. I could not understand the Bible before I was saved. I'd read it over and over, and I could not understand it. After I was baptized, the scriptures became alive to me. Well, now, why was that? Because of obedience. She was not obedient before that, but now that she was obedient, the scriptures become alive to her. Oh, friends, listen. There's no book in the world that's more comforting when you're in time of need is the Bible. I don't know how many times I've fell on my knees and I've read in a book of, I've read in the Psalms or read about Job or some of the other people. They were there for a purpose. Why do you think you and I have problems? So we can help other people when they have problems. And I told you the other day, I thank God I was an alcoholic. Oh, I'm sorry I had to go through it and put my poor family through it. But you see, now I can be used of the Lord. Now, you don't have to be an alcoholic to be used of the Lord to win another alcoholic. But I'll guarantee you, it really, really helps. Same way in prison. Now, I got thrown in prison two or three times because of stupid things. Not for anything stealing or something like that, but from drinking. Well, thousands of people today are frequent flyers. My people are flying to and from. My son is practically in the air every week. He's setting up his offices in better parts of the nation. And he has to travel by air because they can only be gone 2 days, then they got to be back here and run his business here. See, contrast our time of speed and travel with any other period in history. Sadly, many are too busy to take time for God. Let me ask you, beloved, are you too busy to take time for God? Listen to what it said in the fourth verse. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Oh, yes, it will. Knowledge will and shall increase. Many of our colleges are a disgrace today. They have professors that are ungodly, professors that are making fun of the Bible and making fun of Jesus. They're having drunken orgies, wet T-shirt competition. Oh, listen. And these are the ones that are training our young people, or our people for tomorrow are going to be in our government. The amount of knowledge will explode at the end time, and it's really happening now. An increase in scientific knowledge. Hey, friends, do you realize that medicine that they're... Have you watched TV lately? You see how many drugs that they're trying to promote today. I went to my doctor, who was a fine Christian boy, ma'am, and immediately he tried to put me on these particular drugs. Now, the side effects on those drugs are far greater than the disease itself. So I refused to take them. He got very unhappy with me. There's always an increase in medical knowledge. Hey, listen, they can cut a hole in you and take your gallbladder out, and they can, the things that they can't do. Not too long ago, I had to have two of my eyes operated on for cataracts. I went in there and laid down on a table. They gave me a little shot, and I was there about a half an hour, bingo, it's all over. That took it out, took the cataract out. And I waited 6 months, and they took out the other one. No pain, no strain. It's amazing what they can do today. Don't you think that deal going to the moon was quite exciting? I don't know why they wanted to do it, but they did it. And now they want to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars to go into outer space. And friends, they can't solve the problems that we have on Earth. What in the Samtar are they doing out there? Oh, I'm not against reviewing things, but I think their government is crazy when they spend all that money, and it's very dangerous, too. Now we have artificial knowledge, the computer age with all of its wonders. The other day I was out to my daughter's house. Here was my little 4-year-old granddaughter just a plunking away on that computer. I said, honey, when'd you learn to do that? Oh, I've been doing that for a long time. I got three grandchildren out there. Every one of them can work those computers and whip them in shape. Hey, friends, I don't even know how to turn ours on. My wife does it, but I don't want to mess with them. You know why? I don't think I'm smart enough between you and me. These computer affects all areas of life and fulfill prophecy. You know, new communications breakthrough are continuing to change our lives even today. Since knowledge multiplies, acceleration of knowledge will increase. Now, in the 10th verse, here's what it said. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight with understanding, those who have been born again. You know why when we're living in sin, we have the old Adamic nature, of course, but you know the trouble is, when you're unsaved, you have a heart of stone. And then when you get saved, then he removes the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, and then things begin to fall in place. You know, I saw a guy on TV selling holy water. Now, friends, you say, oh, Cecil, don't you believe in that? I sure don't. And that guy's doing it for one purpose, to make money. That's all it does. You don't sell holy water. Another guy said it that he was giving you a handkerchief that he had personally prayed over, and it was anointed of God. Friends, don't you understand? Those people are bilking people by the millions, especially the poor people. They think it's just like the people that play the lottery. Oh, if I could just win the lottery. Your chances of winning the lottery is 1 in 10 billion. And anyway, it's a sin to waste your money. How much money do you give to the Lord's work or to his church? Think about it. No. But see, in these last days, none of the wicked shall understand. Increased wickedness in spite of increased enlightenment. The wicked do wickedly. Now, friends, listen to me. Listen to me. Education doesn't improve morality. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. Compared to Paul's description of this time, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever had a Jehovah Witness knock on your door? Or Mormons that come at the door. They would like to come in and study the Bible with you. And they'd like to tell you this and to tell you that. And then you say, well, wait a minute. When, dear friends, were you born again? When did you repent of your sin and cry out to God to forgive your sins and to come into your heart and save you? Well, they can't say that because it's never happened to them. See, they're trying to work their way to heaven. And beloved, there's not enough works. Someone said, well, I'll get baptized and wash away my sins. Never going to happen. There's no saving grace in water. It has to be the precious blood of Jesus. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Well, the blessed ones at the time of the end, they are purified, John says. The wise shall understand. Blessings or spiritual blindness, which will it be? friends, listen. Don't you know the rapture of the church is about the only thing left that has to be done? When, listen, and I don't understand this, but when the last soul that's going to be saved on this earth, that's when the rapture will occur. That's when the archangels will sound his trump. And Jesus shall appear in the clouds and say, outstretched arm, come unto me, all ye have labor and heavy laden. Who's going to be caught up in that rapture? Is it going to be the Baptist, the Catholic, the Mormons? No, 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 no. It's only those who have been born again, those whose blood is whose sins are under the blood. Friends, Jesus was absolutely sinless, but he went to the cross bearing your sins and my sins so that we could go to heaven when we die. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal everlasting life. You remember what he said in 14th chapter of John, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Friends, I don't know what that mansion looks like. I've never lived in a mansion on this earth. Sure haven't. But I know that mansion, what's going to be good about it is Jesus is going to be where? Going to be there. He's going to be with us all the rest of eternity. Time without end. For those of you who will not believe the gospel and who go about your merry way, someday when you go to hell, you will spend all of eternity, time without end. Did God want you to go there? No, sir. You say, well, why did he send you there? Because he didn't send you there. You make a decision where you want to spend eternity. It's either heaven or hell. As simple as that. As simple as ABC. You are a sinner. I was a sinner. The Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Now, if that's the only thing that appeared, it'd scare me to death. But right after that, I said, but the gift of God is eternal life. Gift. Hey, friends, that's one gift you can't earn, can't buy. He gives it to you. He just stands here with outstretched arms tonight, and he's saying to you, son, daughter, listen, Cecil told it like it was. I am coming back, and I'm going to take those who are my children to heaven. And there they will have no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more tears. He said, I'll even wipe away your tears. But listen, you say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. I don't want to go through that tribulation. Oh, I don't want to go through that terrible tribulation. After the rapture, there is a tribulation. 7 years of terrible Antichrist movement. Oh, it's going to be so awful, I can't even think about it. But Christians won't be there. Now, I know there's a school of thought that said, oh, yes, it's going to be. No, they're not. No, there's not. Uh-uh. Well, friends, let me ask you this. If you're not sure and you're concerned about end time, would you bow your head to me right now? If there's a tugging at your heart, if there's a big old tugging at your heart and you say, oh, I want to know Jesus, I want to be sure I'm going to go to heaven, I want you to pray this simple but powerful prayer, and do not pray this if you don't mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a hell-bound sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down right and ask you for any money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. I told you tonight how to be saved. And if you didn't understand and you want to call and talk to me, you get on a phone call, 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. I do pray something I said was something that would get you to fall in love with Jesus. Friend, I know that some of you don't know anybody in the world loves you. I remember the morning I was saved, I didn't think anybody in this world loved me. I knew my wife didn't love me. My kids didn't love me because I was a disgraceful alcoholic. I was violent. I was mean. Oh, but when I heard that God loved me, I fell on my knees and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I've been going strong for 51 years since that day. Preached halfway around the world. Made a movie of our lives. Written books. Is that because I'm great? No. It's because Jesus is great, and he led us all the way. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.